Good morning and welcome again to the Joint TBID and Community Promotions Committee meeting. It is Thursday, September 15th. We do have a quorum. Promotions is missing Tracy Neal and Janice Peters. And it looks like TBID is just missing Nick Mendoza. Do we have public comment? Oh, there's Nick. He's here. Nobody panic.
Uh-oh.
Any public comment?
Get his name tag over.
We have...
At this time, we're opening the microphone for public comment, if you'd like to step forward.
Okay. Hello. My name is Jacqueline Delaney. I'm with Options Family of Services. Our... is that better? Our headquarters are here in Morro Bay. We've been in business now for over 25 years, and this year we're looking at another $300,000 in budget cuts. So Options has brought me on to do some fundraising for them, and I've done quite a bit of research and realized we have this great oyster farm here, and yet we don't have an oyster festival. Cities like San Francisco, Humboldt, San Diego, they all have oyster festivals. So we're looking at doing an oyster festival in June of 2012. And during May, the time of May, we'll do a chef's contest on it to build up to that. I've already reached out to Sunset Magazine, and they're very excited about it. We'll have it over here at the golf course on holes 14, and working with Cody at the golf course to make that happen. Excuse me. And so I'd like to submit a proposal, a funding request, but a preliminary one. I wanted to get it rolling and then build this preliminary request and get some more information for you. We're looking at possible in-kind donation too with Barnett Cox. So we would love to utilize them and their services for the advertising and promotion of it. We're looking at the marketing to be supported by Sunset Magazine and Barnett Cox and kind of utilize the same idea as what Save of the Central Coast does. So I'll submit this. I don't know if anybody has any questions. Sir. Okay. I'll submit this, and then if anyone has any questions, I'll, Santa Barbara Sea Urchin Farm, mm-hmm. and then the Abalone Farm also, and then having the event here, so it brings in all of that and all the really high-end food events, and then, of course, we can involve the breweries and the wineries and everything else that's local here to bring people in.
Sounds great. Any questions, comments?
So, Jacqueline, you've created or you've downloaded the form through the TBID for
events form. Yeah.
And so is that a preliminary form, or did you get through the whole thing?
I've got through the whole thing. There's just a lot of stuff that's still be determined. You know, when it says to lay out the marketing plan, that's something I'd want to work with Sunset Magazine and Barnett Cox to develop the marketing plan.
Okay, so that's part of your request then.
Correct, yes.
Okay. So then you'll submit that, and that'll come back to us at a quarterly review to look at how what kind of partnership we can build. And we'll definitely be in contact with you. One of us will contact you to let you know when the when you'll be back before us again at the TBID board, okay? Yeah. And then I believe Member Hawkes has a question.
What date were you looking for?
I'm looking in June, and that's something that I would like to open up to as the weekend that's the best weekend for in June. I don't want to be competitive with any other events in all of the Central Coast, so I'm going to look to you too for feedback on which weekend in June.
Okay. And so then you would say, and then in May you would do something?
Yeah, we'll build up all through May, do like a chef's challenge contest on the oysters and the different restaurants, and there'll be, an award at the day of that builds up to it that says, you know, this is the award-winning oyster prepared and stuff like that. So that'll help with all the food magazines, all the food writers, the PR behind it. We'll build up to it all through May to launch it in June.
Why don't we just set you for the next meeting to come as our future agenda item at our next meeting, because I believe that is our quarterly review anyhow. And so so we could plan on coming back to the TBID meeting starts at 10 a.m. here on the third Thursday. And I'm sure, is your email address in there? Then we'll contact you.
And I left some business cards, too.
Perfect. So. Awesome.
Thank I just included some of the websites of the other oyster festivals, but there's so much more that I can discuss with you. It's much more detailed. And I'm looking to really make this a signature event for Morro Bay and for Options as a fundraiser that we can, you know, we can get to our 20th annual type
Terrific.
Of thing and bring back.
Okay. Well, let's have you back and give you a nice slot of time then.
Okay. Great.
All right.
Can I just ask for something when you do your submission? Mm-hmm. Would you mind also, I'm sure you're going to have a large committee with you, and also put some little bit of bio information, what other events you guys have done?
Sure. Of course.
Thanks.
Okay.
Okay. Any other public comment out in the audience? Yep. Looks like we've got gentleman in the back.
My name is Michael Janos, and I live here in Morro Bay. For a couple of years now, I've been on the Central Coast since 61, and I've worked with people with disabilities and disabled, developmentally, and also handicapped. My partner and I are proposing to open up a beach-accessible wheelchair rental and stabilized kayaks for people with disabilities, and I think that'd bring in a lot of people, traveling clubs that we've worked with, New Directions for one, Santa Barbara. We've done a lot of traveling with them. We have experience in traveling with people with disabilities, handicap, and I think Morro Bay would benefit from it. And it'd give a lot of people the opportunity to get on the beach and just enjoy, have a better life from this. Also, the veterans that we got coming home that are disabled and amputees, that would be another thing for them. I think all around, we've been thinking about this. We don't have a proposal. I'm not a real good speaker, but we want to get this going. And we'd like to help from you guys for it. So that's it.
So you're looking for funding help for it?
Yes. We don't have a proposal or anything. This is an idea that we have, and we just found out about this meeting, so we're bringing it before you. And I think it's a good deal, especially this community. It's very involved, disabled and handicapped, and there's a lot of elderly people that live around here that would like to go on the beach, and this would give them the opportunity and everybody else to.
Do you have any ideas of costs at this point?
No, but I can get that together. We do have some other people involved that would help with the funding, so we can get a proposal together for you and present that to you and go from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Michael, I did not catch your last name.
Janos, J-A-N-O-S.
President of Morro Bay 4th. We put on the 4th of July picnic and all the festivities related to the 4th of July in Morro Bay. This year it was a multi-day event where we had a skateboard contest on, I believe it was the Sunday, the 3rd, and then there was a whole day of activities at Tidelands Park on the 4th of July, Monday. So we did receive funding from both of these boards this year, and I do want to thank you one more time for the funding that you provided us. And as promised, I wanted to provide feedback on our, you know, how we did financially this year, so you can see where money was spent and how the event was run financially. I also, you know, I'll let you look through some of the numbers here as I recap just a few of the highlights of the event. Some of the successes, I think, of this year's event was a lot of additional press that we got this year. The skateboard event that was organized by Jack Smith got amazing press. We had news features on KSBY. We had news features in all the papers, local papers, a lot of skateboarding publications. You know, you could see it all over the web in skateboarders, journals, and things like that about this event, what a great event it was. It was a world record skateboard race to break the mile world record, and it was done by seven people at this event. And It was amazing. Under 4 minutes, and so many people are looking forward to this being an annual event, as are the members of Morro Bay Forth. We really hope that this continues. Also, on the around noon on the 4th of July, we had our second annual bike parade. That was even more successful than the first year. There were over 500 participants. It's a bit difficult to get an actual head count because a lot of people jumped in the middle, didn't want to ride the whole way. But we know that there was at least 500 people, which was up from about 350 last year. And that event continues to grow. People coming in from out of the area specifically for that bike parade. And we're looking forward to continuing that and growing that part of the event. And then, of course, there's the picnic that occurs at Tidelands Park. Four bands, lots of kids' activities, very family-friendly, alcohol-free. We received feedback from all the department heads from the city of Morro Bay that there were almost close to zero incidents. I think there was a parking issue in a handicapped spot, some parking issues with folks who wanted to launch boats, things that are definitely that we're able to address in the future years. We know how we can improve on that. But other than those few minor incidents, there were no incidents that the police or fire had to worry about, and they were very thankful for that. So they did comment that this was the type of event that they really enjoy seeing in the city of Morro Bay. So again, I presented some financials to you. As you can see, we did have a bit of a rollover. We exceeded our funding expectations for this year. In fact, so much so that we now have to file taxes this year as a nonprofit. If we stay under a certain dollar amount, we don't have to file taxes, and this year we do. So that is an additional cost that isn't accounted for yet. There's also, I think we were a little short on some T-shirts that were promised to some of our sponsors, so there may be some additional cost there. Those items should be fairly minimal, so I wanted to present these financials to you since we're getting to the end of our board year, which ends at the end of this month. A couple of comments I have about the rollover are that we have some goals as, you know, through this committee, we have a couple of goals with our financial situation. We'd like to eventually have enough of a reserve that we can fund an entire year's event if we had zero funding. So our goal is to eventually have about $40,000 in reserve, you know, just in case we come on some tough fundraising years. That's about what it costs to put on this event. And then we're also setting aside some money year by year. We don't have a set amount. We're just voting on it as a board to buy or collaborate with either the harbor or another event on purchasing a dock, or I'm sorry, not a dock, a barge that would, that we could use year after year to launch the fireworks from. That's a pretty big expense. Based on our initial research, that expense would start at about $10,000 for what we need. So, hopefully over the next few years we can save that amount of money and not have that be a recurring expense. So those are my few comments. I did want to highlight, one more time, some of the real successful fundraisers were the Harbor Hut Luau, the Stax Wine Raffle, and the Tognazzini's. My final thoughts here, I feel like this is an appropriate announcement to the general public right now that the Morro Bay Forth Group is coming to the end of its fiscal board year. So we are looking for new members on both our board of directors and our committees. The board meets not as often. The committees are where a lot of the work is done. We have a fundraising committee, we have a promotions committee, and we have an operations committee. And we're looking for members, new members on all of those committees and our board of directors. So if you have any interest in participating in this event, it's a lot of fun, and we put on a great event that you can be proud of. You can give me a call. I guess my cell phone would be the place to call, 704-5466. There it is out in the public world now. You can email me, dan@centralcoastlending.com. And those are, this week would be great, or before the end of the month would be great. We are actively you know, we have a nomination committee going on right now trying to find those new participants. So if you're interested and we haven't talked to you, you find us. We'd appreciate it. And then also, there was a comment made in the promotions committee meeting earlier that an idea was brought up to maybe look for a New Year's Eve event where there's fireworks. Or I know in the past we've also talked about maybe fireworks at the boat parade. Something to expand in a off-season winter month to try to bring more visitors in. 2 years in a row now, Morro Bay Forth has had a small surplus of our funding, and I believe, and I'm not speaking for the board, I'm speaking for me, I believe that we would be a great group to help facilitate that expanded winter event. We do have a relationship with a fireworks provider. We're familiar with how that whole thing works, and I think that it could even possibly coincide with another needed fundraiser for Morro Bay Forth. So that's my thought. Those are my thoughts. If there's no other questions, I'll go back to my seat.
Thanks, Dan. Okay, no more public comment. Moving on to approval of minutes. Any corrections, comments, discussion on the minutes from the joint meeting? We have a motion for approval.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Second? I'll make second it.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve the joint meeting minutes from August.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you. On to monthly reports. We have the Visitor Center report first.
I'll make this a quick report. It's not very large this month. My apologies for that. Avocado is kind of looming there in the horizon. If you look at the total visits, we're almost parallel with 2010. Although it's a little misleading because we're not including the people that come in and ask for public restroom, whereas we were counting that in 2010. And that's running anywhere from 8 to 6%, Ed, are we? So if you add those numbers, if we're comparing apples to apples, we're up just slightly. Packets are down a little bit, although in the beginning of September we sent off about 500 fulfillment pieces, I believe, from Sunset. So those are starting to come in again, which is great to see. Then you can see the referrals for August of 2011 down at the bottom of the page. And then following is the trend for the last couple of years so that you can see how we're trending. Anecdotal information from the business community is that retail is pleased that sales are picking up. So I'm not sure how that reflects in the sales tax, but anecdotally that's what I'm hearing.
I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the Visitor Center total fulfillment report, the graph, and the graph ends for this year in May. Do we have figures for
that? That's probably because I haven't updated it since May. My apologies. I'll make sure that.
I was just curious what was going on there, if we were
and then mad cow disease. That's my excuse.
You know,
mad cantaloupe.
Yeah, disease.
I can use the cantaloupe thing now.
Cantaloupe this month. And then when you're talking about when I look at the invoice, I'm looking at the invoice for phone and email. So those are folks that just phone in or email in and request visitors
here. But so we didn't get it on the wall that day. But it is up every day. Even if we don't have reports from the lodgers, at least people after hours can see the listing of lodgers and the phone numbers so that they can call direct and make arrangements.
One thing I had thought of as a hotelier in reviewing this list and when it's coming out is if it might work better in the summertime if we had lists coming out, requests coming out on Monday and Tuesday for midweek, and then maybe Wednesday and Thursday for weekend, because there is still, even in the summertime, a big variance between what availability is midweek and what it is on the weekend.
So what would be the best days to send those out? And is this just the summer, Karen, or during off-season also?
I think off-season probably a midweek would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think off-season a midweek would be fine. I'm thinking more on to make this more truly beneficial to the hoteliers and to the visitors that are looking for the referrals through the visitor center, that a single one in midweek like you're doing now for off season would be fine. I'm just thinking about during the high season.
And that's really easy to make the change, so I would defer to TBID to let me know when you would like those to go out.
I don't know if we should get into this as full discussion, because my question would be, is there a way to make it interactive where we could go in and do it ourselves? Like, just timely, so that it's more up to date. Just curious.
I think we discussed.
That's why I'm saying I feel like we're getting into discussion. Maybe we discussed this today
at last meeting, yeah. That we wanted to start developing an interactive thing. I think Sherry's working on it, so that it's on the site, and maybe if we get one of those Q4. That's posted on the window of the visitor center, and that'll take them directly to the availability report. Okay?
Yeah, we did discuss this last time, and I know it is in the works, and I think.
So I'd hate to change anything if we're already changing it.
Should we change the changes?
John, did you have a comment? You're reaching for your button.
We were walking by the other day, and there's that information board with the phone on it. That's the reaction. it just seemed to me like, are we getting use out of that thing?
Who owns that board?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Who rents that space?
Well, I believe Cliff Branch, the property owner.
The property owner
has made the arrangements with them and the board.
Uh-huh, okay.
Because I did pick up the phone and called one of your establishments, and it actually worked.
Wow.
You know, I got to the front desk to make a reservation. The problem was I couldn't set the phone down afterwards because it stuck to my hand, which may be a problem. We probably need to
clean. Well, the problem with that is a lot of people that come down that corridor think that's the visitor information center, and actually Wendy and Ed at the coffee cottage are kind enough to tell them to go around the corner, and that's where the visitor center is. So we need to work on signage. Which leads me to a thank you to the city for hosting the Visitor Center Visitor Services Forum. We actually came up with 6 or 7 things that we can do right now at very little cost as a result of that meeting. So I think it was very productive, and we've got some action items on our plate now as a result of that.
Anything else on the Visitor Center report? Moving on, review of transient occupancy reports. Joan, did you want to cover that?
Well, this month we were up four percentage points total overall occupancy year on year. But then John Myers is going to go down into an in-depth coverage of TOT on a larger scale because we have a quarterly in-depth that we do. So. He'll bring that, I think, forward to us right now. John?
Yep. Here's extra copies. I sent this to the TBID board last time. One from the top, one from the bottom. One from the top, one from the bottom. Sent it to the TBID board yesterday, but primarily for the CPC folks. Here's a copy for you. And basically what we're doing, we agreed some time ago that we would look at the TOT report more in depth on a quarterly basis, and actually I'm proposing that we probably do this more on a seasonal basis to match our fall quarter or winter quarter, you know, the different shoulder and high seasons we have during the year. And this is a first step at this, so I'm looking for any kind of suggestions to improve the content of this thing going forward as well. It starts out kind of the big picture, looking at the world. Asia Pacific, the Americas, Europe, and Middle East, Africa. I thought it was kind of interesting just from a perspective of, you know, the highest occupancy in the world is Europe at 73%. They also have the highest rooms at $148. The reverse of that is it makes, for example, occupancy up 5.6% for the month of July or 2.7% year to date through July. We still lag behind every other category in the report. fairly substantially if you look at the year-to-date numbers. I mean, we're at 2.7. The U.S. on a whole is the next closest at 3.9% increase. And all of our competitors on the coast are over 4% increases.
I just, for everyone, I want to let everyone know that Smith Travel Research does a sampling. So what he's referring to when he's referring to the Morro Bay numbers is those are full figures. Those are our full-bodied numbers. The sampling that Smith Travel does, when I had the days in, I was doing the Smith Travel Report, and there were only about four or five hotels that were doing it. Now Best Westerns are all required to do it. Because they go and they basically scrape their back-end information. So we know we are getting good information out of Morro Bay and the county when we look at that, because we have a lot of properties like Marriott's and stuff that they go in and scrape the information off of.
Yeah, that's a good point. The right column, the room census and sample, Smith reports both by number of properties and by number of rooms. Since we report locally by number of rooms, I went ahead and picked up the room numbers. But you can see on a national basis, it covered 3.4 million of 4.8 million rooms. So it's collecting more than 75% of the total rooms available out there. And also you can see even on the local basis, SLO, Paso Robles, 8,400 rooms, 5,400 reported. So we've got a pretty good sampling. I think it'd be pretty representative of what's going on. And of course, Morro Bay is 100% because it comes from the city numbers.
And I want to say something here. Look at the San Luis Paso numbers there. And, you know, that includes the unincorporated county, from what I understand. And I just have to say something. This is the first time in 5 years in my recent memory that San Luis has passed Monterey. So all the marketing efforts that we're making in partnership Morro Bay is part of that. We've moved forward, and we've been able to help push that forward. So
I guess what, and pick up right where Joan's at, is it just seems like us here in Morro Bay, we're not getting our fair slice of the pie because we are lagging behind SLO, Monterey, everybody else quite a bit. Not only in occupancy, but if you just look at average daily rate, for example, I mean, Santa Barbara is up at $170, Monterey $175, SLO Paso $136, and we come in at $117. That's the month of July, so that's the highest month we've got during the year. So we've got a lot of work, both in terms of room rates and in terms of occupancy, and I think probably occupancy is where we need to work the hardest. The last chart on this first page, the first part of this location is the month of July. The second is the year-to-date numbers through July. Second page, industry segment. I thought this might be interesting just to look at. Smith breaks out, you know, different types of motels, you know, airport, interstate, resort, so forth, and then they also break them down by size. So here's both of their breakdowns by type of property and by size. I'm just trying to figure out where we fit. So I show in dark italics the numbers that are closest to our numbers. For example, occupancy for 2011, we're at 50%. Interstate hotels were at 54.4. Everybody else is quite a bit higher than that. I mean, I would think we probably fit in the small metro slash town, small town category, and I would think we probably fit in the mid-price range.
Yeah, I would say to you that we definitely are not interstate. In our industry, we don't consider ourselves interstate, resort, any of that. In the industry, we consider ourselves the small metro town, and I think that we fall somewhere in between mid-price and economy, because we only have 900 rooms and they're not very expensive. And so we're definitely mid-price. We do have some economy rooms, though, but I think we're more strongly aligned with mid-price.
Because if we agree to that, then if from an occupancy perspective, we're, you know, 7 percentage points below the industry from a type of property, and from a size of property or price of property, we're about 13 or 14 percentage points below the industry average. So it says we've got a lot of room on the upside. Now, truthfully, Morro Bay, I mean, we've got a small group of number of rooms in the luxury category, and we're probably primarily mid-size or mid-price range, mid-price minus, I would almost say. And then we've got a large seasonal nature to our business, and I don't see seasonality built into some of these other other categories. So a lot of thought needs to go into these numbers to try and figure out what kind of information we can really extrapolate out of this. But they don't. It doesn't look real positive. It looks like there's opportunities to improve here and see what kind of improvement over time we can make in those things. I think there's a lot of good ideas can come out of this if we just spend a little time thinking about it on our own. And maybe next, what I'm actually proposing is that we have our quarterly report at the end of each of these seasons. Mm-hmm. So the August report, which would be then next month in October, because we'd have the August numbers in, we'll cover the summer high season, and then we'll do January to cover the fall shoulder season. So it's not exactly every quarter, but maybe we could then run into a discussion of how we actually did in the prior season compared to the seasons, two or three seasons prior to that. Yeah, any questions or thought or ideas?
It looks good. I really like our ADR and our RevPAR when we use July only. I think that looks great. Let's just continue with that thought.
I just wanted to say one thing. First of all, I really like that report a lot. And then the other thing that the discussion's been ongoing with community promotions a lot with us about our, and it shows an average rate on these reports. And a lot of the comments have been, Morro Bay is so expensive. And I've been looking at also some TripAdvisor, and it says Morro Bay is expensive. For what we get, Morro Bay is expensive. And yet we're below every other area. So what we need to really look at, and I don't know if we can, but if we can look at where the visitors are that are staying in our area, and maybe what we need to look at is that if we had an increase in mid-June through August of a certain guest from other areas, that's why our average has gone up and been acceptable, where the people that might be upset or from areas that are used to us having our rates at $39. So we really need to look at that, and I don't know if there's a vehicle to do that.
Just one other, as far as the Oyster Festival presentation a few minutes ago, I mean, June is high season. Maybe we use something like this to try and promote the idea that maybe the warm-up is April and the Oyster Festival is a May festival, something like that, so we put it into the spring shoulder season when our occupancy is substantially lower than it is in the summer. And we can offer better room rates and all kinds of stuff.
So just one thing, though. Usually first half of June is still struggling for the hotels. So I think usually it kicks off. I know for most kids, they don't even get out of school. My son doesn't get out till like the 18th or something. They've really pushed school into most of June. So now what's happening, and that's why we're seeing July so strong, because July is the only month they're not in school. Kids still stay in school in June till almost the end of June. It used to be like the first week of June. Now it's like the third week of June. And then they go back like the second week of August. So I think June is still an easy month if we go into that earlier part of June.
Right, other than the fact that they're talking about a weekend festival, and that is, you know, one of those first two weekends of June is the Cal Poly graduation.
Yeah.
So, you know, but if you're talking about the end of May, first of June, that would be great.
Yeah, let's bring back the festival conversation, though, during the festival conversation. I just want to keep us moving forward without going outside of our guidelines. So I think that this is a great report. I agree with you on the reporting schedule, because I think we need to have those quarterly numbers. And we can drill down on some of these numbers with Sherry and see how we can make them flex their muscle and become higher so that every month looks like July only. And then off we'll all go dancing around. So I'd like to accept this report for file. Everyone agrees. I feel good about that on this side. Good job, John. Thank you so much for your efforts and your work there.
All right, moving on to Barnett Cox Advertising Agency report. Sherry? Okay.
Thank you. this PowerPoint is bouncing all around on me, so I may have to get some assistance here. I'm trying to... Where thank you. Did he hear me? Wow. We need to go back to the beginning. It had a mind of its own while we were meeting. There we go. I just wanted to start out with some ads that we have in progress. Things are really starting to hit. We've been, you know, on board officially since July 1st and working very hard at getting some campaigns going, and they're just starting to actually be alive. So we're excited about it. This very first ad is going to run on Saturday in on getting QR codes, that kind of thing, but that's something that's going to hit the very first part of the year, and interestingly enough, their deadline is tomorrow for a January publication, so I just want you to be aware of some of the lead times that we're working with. So it's a work in progress. And then we did a very slight refresh of the visitor's guide. We were in need of copies for Saver and in the visitor center, that kind of thing, so we went ahead and you're looking at the previous, just the cover of the visitor's guide. We added the new logo, added some blue to the front, got a QR code on the front of the visitor's guide, and those will be delivered this week. So we'll have lots for Saver, lots for the visitor's center, and then we're planning to go into a full rework of the visitor's guide as soon as Saver is over. So that's going on there. And then this is a CPC commercial. We just need to go back one. This is a 30-second spot. It's called a staycation package that is being run on KCOY Channel 12, Fox 11, which is airing from Santa Barbara to Paso Robles. It's also airing in Monterey on KION TV. We got a great deal. We have a six-month package that we're kind of going every other month, and this is the 30-second spot that's running.
People from all over the world want to come here, but you're already here. Why travel when you can play where you live right here on the Central Coast? Stick around and discover the vacation destinations right outside your front door. Discover Morro Bay. Enjoy the beauty of this unique fishing village along Scenic Highway 1. Eat fresh local food, relax while strolling the Embarcadero or Old Town. Shopping and art galleries abound. Eat, shop, play, stay. Discover Morro Bay. Make your next vacation a Central Coast staycation.
So that started on September 5th, and we're looking for some good return on that. And we've got lots of video. We should have brought popcorn because we have lots of but we've just had some really nice video taking place, a lot of it surrounding Saver. This is for the Saver kayak paddleboard tour that is on Friday, September 30th, and we can go ahead and roll that.
Paddling is just a wonderful way to get out and enjoy nature. Just the act of floating, gliding across the water, it's incredibly peaceful. It's restorative. I'm Matt Hudgens with Central Coast Stand Up Paddling. We're here for the Sunset Saver of the Central Coast Oyster Bay Tour. I keep getting on the water because that moment when you first step on and you're floating, you're not on land anymore. It's a great way to disconnect from the worries and the hassles of everyday life. Morro Bay is the home to a remarkable variety of wildlife. We have brown and white pelicans. We see seals, sea lions, snowy plovers, night herons, egrets, blue herons, you name it. Stand-up paddling is remarkably safe, especially in flat, calm, protected water. Anybody can do it. It takes about 5 minutes to get up and be comfortable on a board. Come on out, get a paddle in your hand and see what it's like.
So after you're done paddleboarding, you're going to be crazy hungry. So you're going to come down to Miss Lola's Southside Grill. My whole cuisine idea is lots of different cuisines from all over the world prepared traditionally, and then twist them up. We're going to be hosting the food side of the event, and it's going to have four different components. A really nice three oysters on the half shell with melon and cucumber water. We're going to be having grilled pear salad. The third course is oyster po' boy. We make it very simple. We use really, really crazy good tomatoes. The oysters come again right out of Morro Bay Oyster Company. We fry them up crispy, and they get a little bit of remoulade on the top. Lastly, on the whole set is a very nice piece of Valrhona cocoa chocolate cake. Probably illegal in most states because it's so good.
We have had great response. We just distributed this video on Tuesday morning and have already had many magazines and different entities coming back, lots of people asking if they can get rooms in Morro Bay for the event, media prices, all that kind of thing. But visitcalifornia.com, who we have been begging and pleading to get on their site forever, actually came back after this video was released and said, please send us all of your events, this video, and so we're on, that's being done this morning. So that was a big, I know you'd like that. So we actually have a written press release going out on this as well, and we have identified lots of recreation, outdoor, niche marketings. Matt Hudgens sent it out to all of his people in, you know, different clubs that he knows in Southern California, that kind of thing. So we're excited about that. And the next big video is Battle of the Bay.
I would say my approach to cooking here is pretty much based on trying to use fresh local ingredients as much as possible.
Living here, we're right in the center of.
And yeah, again, got lots of great response from some culinary people and writers and people that want to come out to the event. And I believe we're pretty close. We're doing great in ticket sales on Battle of the Bay. So we're excited about that. So that's, and, you know, just to recap, I mean, Savor has been at the top of our list. We're working hard on everything that has to do with Savor. So we're only, 15 days away, 14 days away. But it's coming together, you know, good efforts, and we're excited about all the press that's happening. So,
Can I say something?
Sure.
Can I say something about the Battle of the Bay? I have heard once this video, which is the second year we've done this and had the video released and the two chefs were picked. And by the way, we just solidified the ingredients for the secret basket. Shh. And so it's a secret. And I have heard from several of our counterparts out in the county. They're like, that's probably the event that they talk about most about getting tickets into and going to. And several other county entities requested to have a battle set up this year for them. And because we developed it, we had first rights of refusal, and they're like, you know, we can't even do it, and it's something we want to do to draw attention to it. So we have a really good niche here with this, I think, and especially in with Sunset. So, and a great way to highlight some of our really excellent chefs and our wonderful, wonderful food we have here.
It's a good one. And still on the, I know I'm making everybody hungry, we're still on the subject of food here. This was an article that was published in Sunset's September issue. This is Tognazzini's Dockside Restaurant, and it was under a subhead of Seafood with a View with a few other restaurants featured. But they got a great couple photos and a good little write-up, so I think they were very pleased, and we're pleased that Morro Bay is getting that kind of exposure. Ready to go. These are the press releases that were either have just released. There's a vast amount of them going on. We've got the Harbor Festival press release went out Monday, a fall events release that included the Avocado Margarita event and the Harbor Festival event, all of the events basically for the fall, and is getting some very good reception, went out on Tuesday. We obviously released the video. We released it on Tuesday, and we're releasing it again with the written press release on the 15th. And then we're working on the Central Coast Waterman Festival coming up around the 22nd of October. So lots of press and lots of good stuff going on. Okay, we're going into stats here. This is total website visits, and I know that you guys received copies of the, and just to preface off the top, we are working on reformatting the analytics that you guys are receiving. I know they're coming across in a little bit of a tough way to view them. So by next month, we should be in good shape so that they are more user-friendly. Total website visits are actually down. This was dismaying to us, and we have been looking at why and how and how it can be remedied. One of the things is that we've we haven't really published. We've been working on ads and getting, you know, getting things going, but July and August were pretty dry as far as advertising goes. So that's one of the factors. We feel like towards the September is going to be better, and October, when we go into full launch mode, we should be in better shape for website visits. The top 10 referring URLs, Google, National Geographic, San Luis Obispo Vacations, Savor the Central Coast is rising a little bit because of the event. Facebook, because we're getting some good exposure on Facebook and doing some ads, that's up there too. So that's the top 10. Google Analytics, the email addresses that were added to the website this month, pretty minimal, added 35. We're looking forward to Savor really, really bumping those numbers. So that'll be a good one for September and October. Smartphone visitors, definitely increasing. That's just getting every month. It's getting more and more. So that's something that we're really focusing on, is the mobile website and the QR codes and how we can get – we're actually working on getting stats on who's looking at the QR codes, you know, where we're publishing them, and how many people are looking at them, so we can gauge how much to use it. They're popping up everywhere, as you know. They're even on some TV spots. They're putting QR codes on. So it's getting very popular, and I think we'll continue to use them in a wise fashion. Smart device, again, up. It just keeps...
121 compared to July and August of last year at 1,288 from JackRabbit, just from JackRabbit. So it's like, and actually that referral was morrobay.org and JackRabbit. That's the difference. So I'm down a huge amount of click-throughs, so...
There might be a couple of reasons why they can't click through to your hotel. One is because availability, your occupancy is up, and it won't let them access into – it won't pull your hotel up and draw your hotel for them to click through to. That's number one. And in July, we did see a boost in occupancy. And, you know, some hotels – you have to think some hotels ran at 98 or 99%, and some hotels – probably ran at 65% in order for us to average out at the 76% that we came in at. So with that, if your hotel was one of those at the higher end, or even in the 70s or 80s, you have less available. You're not going to draw up to be clicked through to. So if your occupancy went up, that's something you have to measure too against that.
And those are the comparisons I'm trying to get from Steve, is to, you know, I want to see exactly why this is happening, where, you know, if they're getting knocked out because because there isn't availability. And so I should have that. I mean, I'll have it before, but I'll definitely have it for the next meeting.
Yeah, because we definitely, if we're paying for that every month, want to make sure that it's worth it. And so if it's not working for us, we have to figure out how to make it work. And so we should look at that on the website subcommittee as part of a goal to meet with you and come up with a plan for that.
That's a good idea. Okay. These are the top 10 referring cities. We've got Fresno at the top of the list, L.A. coming in very closely behind. San Luis Obispo is usually up there in the top five. San Francisco, Bakersfield, and going down the list into San Diego and San Jose. I was surprised to see San Jose that far down the list, but I think with some of the efforts that we're going to be making in the next couple months, it'll be rising, because we haven't been in SanJoseMercury.com since BCA took over, but that will start happening in October. Again, here, this is the website stats that are down, looking at August 2010 to August 2011, and we expect to see good return in September, looking into exactly why we had a downfall. July was up. I know part of it is, you know, that kids are going back to school and people are stopping the search. You know, by the 10th of August, people are in that, I got to get my kids back to, families anyway. But we are working hard to get this the numbers back up to where it's, you know, it's a trend that I can see. August falls off every, you know, yearly every month from July, but this is quite a discrepancy that we are going to work on solving. And this is the TOT, which we've obviously gone over in great detail, and I loved that report. So this is just a graph of that to see where we are, and we're obviously up from last year, which is a good thing. And then these are just a few Facebook posts that people have put up. Somebody, you know, posted this picture with this seal waving, and we got a bunch of comments on that. There's a few of these to follow. We've just had a great, we have a great community to interact with on this Facebook, tourists and locals alike. And we can just flip through some of these. These are some of the other people just, you know, we're putting comments out there. They're answering back. They're saying what's going on this weekend, that kind of thing. So we're working on getting those conversations going. Yeah. Yeah,
point,
people
look at
are
that
very
roller rink thing too. They comment, which is now closed. One of them says about how they used to come here to the rolling rink.
To Flippo's? Is that
yeah. It was up there, right there. I wish I could use yeah.
I see? Know. I wish these were easier to see.
As a kid, go to the roller skating.
Yeah. Place. Yeah, but just that generational thing that they were here as kids and coming back. So, and then these are we've posted all the videos that we, you know, on Facebook and definitely distributed them out and shared them and other people are sharing them, and this one had a great response. People wanting to come, people wanting to, you know more about it. So, those are vital components. And so we have 76 new likes on Facebook for August. And that is the conclusion of our marketing report. So, and we are just, you know, building. It's going to get better and better. We've got lots of ads coming up, and we're excited about the prospects. So, any questions?
Most back-to-back mention, which is really doesn't happen very often in Sunset Magazine. So, definitely pick it up and take a look.
Thanks, Sherry. I also wanted to comment. You made fog look good. And I'm a big one for truth in advertising, and we do have fog. That's part of Morro Bay, but it looked great. It looked fun. So I appreciated that part of that ad. No unfinished business is listed, so on to new business, discussion of the Cal Poly study on Morro Bay resident perceptions of tourism.
Everyone print that?
I did. Well, or got a copy of it. Anybody want to open with comments or thoughts about it? Get your 2 cents in, Bill.
If I can get the green light on. I thought basically it was a good report. Had a lot of interesting information. I thought the questions, there were 64 questions, and I thought there was a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. I was one of the persons that was selected to add, to fill out the page, or to answer it and send it back in. And it was a long 64 questions. I think that they could have cut a lot of the questions out. I really don't like questions where you have four choices. I love it. I didn't like it. I loved it a little bit. You know, I don't like those kinds of questions. On page five, let's see, was it five? Anyway, in here he suggested that we have one way to get it out to the public, because the public seems to want to read this report or are interested, is to have a new web page. I don't see that. To me, the only place to put it would be on the city's web page. And I wouldn't leave it on there too long, maybe 90 days, something like that. You know, he suggests doing all these things, but then when you dig down to it, it says the community has a slightly positive attitude towards tourism. So that's basically what I thought. It was a good report, had a lot of interesting things. I was surprised how many rich people there are in Morro Bay and how many people had advanced college degrees.
I think after reading the report, my questions would be, how is this going to guide us now, as especially the CPC, who has a charter of doing more community outreach and informing our residents of what we do? How are we going to guide our actions and what we do based on what we found in this report? And that's going to take, I think, a lot more time and study than what we have here today. Mm-hmm.
Dan, any response? Amit? No. I think you're right, Ed, about CPC needing to take a look at how we use the information and get back information to the community. He did state in his executive summary that the three things that people most wanted to know about were the tourism, economic contributions to the community, the environmental impacts of tourism, and then events that are in the community. They indicated that they wanted online newspaper or TV information about those things. I did wonder, given that the more negative reactions to tourism were in the higher socioeconomic range, so the mid to high level of income, whether we could utilize the city's mailers for the water bill, for example. I'm assuming most of those people are property owners. So, you know, if the lower income people may be part of the service industry that serves the tourism community, they may, you know, be renters. Some general assumptions. So they may be more on board with understanding how tourism is beneficial, but the wealthier folks, you know, may need a little education about that, and just having some simple things a few times a year going out saying, this is what the tourism dollar contributes to our communities. These are the kinds of events that go on that benefit the local people here as well as visitors. And environmental impacts, I think that's an important thing to discuss. And I think we probably need some kind of obey.org and get information about what's happening with the lodging industry or what's happening at restaurants or what events are going on. So I think there's lots of ways people can get involved in how you lead that horse to that water. I feel like we're doing a lot, but I guess we could all brainstorm on more ideas. Anyhow, those were my thoughts.
Can I just say something? Before we post this anywhere, it says they polled people who live north or south of Highway 46. It really needs to be changed to 41 if we're going to do that.
There were some
discussed the typos.
And
those would definitely be corrected.
Yeah.
So the housekeeping issues would definitely be corrected.
Is there a way we can go in and edit this before it's posted? Is it in a PDF format?
No, I don't. I believe it's a PDF format. I'd be very hesitant to do that. It's a final product. I think if we're interested in posting on the website, we can ask the author to make the changes.
I think we should do that.
Okay, I have a couple of thoughts that I need to get off my chest because I have something I have to step out to, so I apologize. A couple of my thoughts are that I really think that this should be maybe more strongly adopted by the CPC than the TBID, because I see it as a community outreach thing, and I see us as trying to pull in the destination marketing. I think that some public service announcements could be done very inexpensively and aired on AGP video that shows maybe our police chief or public employees working and saying that we support tourism because it creates jobs in our restaurants and helps to pave our roads and run our sewer systems, and it's a clean industry, and yes, there are impacts on our sewer environmentally. You know, we could have Bruce Keough speaking out at the sewer plant saying, you know, environmentally speaking, you know, the tax dollars that come in offset the impact and those kinds of things, if those are the truths. I mean, the truths have to be spoken. But I think that those public service announcements could be aired on AGP video, could be made in conjunction with you all and Barnett and Cox, and they don't have to be big, they don't have to be expensive. It's straightforward, and, you know, with, like, you know, Andrea would be great. we'll nominate Andrea to do one. or anyone saying, you know, what the tax revenue comes in, it impacts basically, just TOT impacts between 20 and 24% of every dollar that goes into the general fund, which thus is 20 to 24 cents of every dollar that every city employee earns. So, you know, that's an impact for them. And that doesn't include sales tax figures. So I think that those things could be done and maybe should be done. And with that, I'll pass it to Michelle.
Okay. You guys want to... I'll have my 2 cents, but I'll... John, do you have anything? Yeah, I'll kind of go down the row.
I just echo off what Susan and our chairman mentioned, that I think part of the reason, and this is just speculation on my part, but a lot of the higher income people that live here have come from areas like Orange County or LA County or the Bay Area, where I think there's a little bit of fearfulness. If we make Morro Bay so popular, it's going to turn into a real dense, high traffic type of situation. I think they're real leery of that, which is understandable. So I think the whole idea of public service announcements just indicating that people, I mean, tourism is one of the best industries because people come here, they spend their money, and they leave. I mean, it's a clean industry, and I think for our natural resources here, I think, you know, ecotourism is one area where if that's something that people are coming to see, that's a really great way of preserving this area because it's something that people want to come and see. So I think, you know, getting people out or getting the information out and educating people is what we should probably take from this report.
Anybody else over on TBID? John?
Yeah, a couple of thoughts. I think Susan hit a couple of points right on the head that, you know, getting the horse to the water is not difficult. It's taking that first sip is kind of difficult sometimes. And I think Nick made some good points that there is some resistance about wanting too many people to come here because they might stay. So we have to certainly let that impact our thinking. Just don't stay very long. Yeah.
We don't mean it, everybody. We really don't mean it.
I do think it'll cause people to be interested. But I think it is a CPC issue, and from the TBID perspective, I would really like to support your efforts in doing that. I think it's important to get this accomplished. And anything we can do to help, I think we would probably be there. So that's pretty much my comments.
Karen, you know that. Jane, you already said something? Yeah.
I just wanted to also reiterate, I think that CPC should take the lead on this.
I agree with everything pretty much everyone said. I'd love to see, I love that staycation video. I'd love to see a little PSA. I think it'd be great to have the mayor and the police chief and the people that are here kind of getting the fruit from the labor type of thing. And I think, too, I really would like to see the environmental side addressed. I know growing up here my entire life, that's always a big concern that I hear from people. You know, I get the other side of the hat of, you know, why are you getting all these people to come here? But they need to see what it does for us. But I also think they need to see that it is much more environmentally friendly than people want to perceive it to be. And I think that ecotourism is a great way. You know, people that want to come and see the seals and the birds and the water, they're going to preserve that because they're coming here to see it. They're not going to throw the trash out on the beach type of mentality. And I think that would be a great way. I think that just needs to be brought into all of this. And I think maybe like the water bills, you know, maybe doing some kind of flyer. Hey, FYI, did you know?
I think it's a lot of just did you know stuff that people just don't know. And I personally think it'd be great to be on the city website. I think it should stay there forever once it's cleaned up. I don't think that a time frame should necessarily be, because you have people that kind of come and go in their interests depending on their world of what's going on. They may not care about anything for 6 months, and then all of a sudden they've got this great interest in what we're all doing. So I would like to see it just kind of up there all the time. Council meetings, channel 22 is in rooms. That's another thing. Hoteliers have that channel 22. So if there was a PSA done, it could maybe be utilized in many different areas. So that's another thing. And I would love to see CPC take the role as well. I'd like to see us maybe, you know, maybe you grab a member from the TBID, just if there is some of that hotelier type of questions maybe. But I think it'd be nice to see CPC.
Yeah, and I think that was the goal initially anyhow. We had Tyson do the study. One thing I can think of that hoteliers could help us with is I think most hotels have been really good about the low-flow shower heads and the toilets that, you know, or whatever the new modifications are. The recycling collections, I think, have been huge, that the waste actually coming out of hotels for is minimal at this point. And so that kind of information could be good to pass along, you know, your friendly hotelier there.
And there's a lot of green lodging properties in this town, so it would be I know that the Chamber did something a couple of years ago, and I remember I spoke at the meeting about all these ways of actually, you know, the light bulbs and the batteries, and, you know, maybe that's another did you know FYI, this is what the hoteliers are actually doing.
And they are, they are coming up with, the Chamber's working on a green certification for businesses, too, so that
could all be intertwined.
All right, I think.
Just one last thought. I mean, this is very interesting. It's almost a standing committee kind of thing. This is something that doesn't go away. You know, getting community support for the industry is something that almost has to go on as long as we all go on. And
it could be part of the PR on TBID, and then you guys, I'm sure, have a PR committee, and we could work together. Because I agree. I, being someone who's really in. My family's been here forever, and I see the other hat sometimes of what, you know, I hear my dad sometimes say things, or wait, you know, and so I think it's just an educational side, and to see the 2.9, I mean, yeah, people slightly think well of tourism, but I think they just is a lack of knowledge, and I think it'd be nice for us to give them that education and let them know a little bit more than it's not anybody's fault, they just don't know.
You know, another way to get into it, too, thinking about families, I hear kids all the time. Neighborhood kids, you know. Oh, I hate those tourists. I wish they'd go, you know. I mean, that's kids. It's kids. This is their playground. But you could bring it into schools, too. You know,
as very great idea.
Go through the high school. They have their, they have some day where people go in and talk about their careers, you know, but there are probably ways to approach that, too, and just get the high school is making a big effort to reach out with their sports teams to get involved with the community. So, you know, we can reach back. So I think we've done that one. On to declaration of future agenda items. One thing I wanted to mention, it's kind of a new business concept possible for next month to discuss. Amit brought up the idea of doing something for New Year's Eve. And what we talked about was that planning a single event has not really been successful. So anyhow, it's something for thought. Out there. And then any other agenda items?
Does anybody like on TBID have any agenda items, future agenda items for the joint meeting? I think.
The 4th of July
needs to be on there. You're right. Thank you, Dan.
And then were we going to get the visitor center report was going to, or the workshop report was going to go to City Council, but it might be nice to come back again to this group to discuss any reactions.
We're happy to bring it back after we take it to Council.
Okay.
So maybe put that on our future agenda. Mm-hmm. That's something that should be addressed up before. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then were you going to redo this TOT report, the quarterly report, for next month to start getting on schedule with that?
Yeah, I think the idea would be next month would
like
be the first seasonal report.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that'll fall under just DOT.
Right. Okay. I think that's all I have.
we're good on this end. TBID is,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I think we can adjourn the joint meeting. Stay tuned for TBID's meeting and hope all goes well. Thank you.
I was going to say, can we, yeah.
Yeah.